You are listening to the Rob Scott Podcast, your source for Rob's take on current events. Let's begin the show.
Call me a redneck, a reckon that I am, but this thing's going on, make me mad down to the core. I have to work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the street, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more.
Hey, everybody. It is Rob Scott. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it very, very much. And, you know, I was listening to Charlie Daniels here that you just got done listening to, just a little portion of him. And, you know, it seems like to me like almost every decade there is an artist, musician or something that kind of recognizes things that just aren't, you know, that just aren't the way that they're supposed to be, you know. And I played on episode 114, Aerosmith, and you know how, and I think that was done in 1993, I think, 1993, yeah, and Something Wrong with the World Today, and even recognized back, you know, back then that something was going on. I mean, one of those verses in there says, if you can judge a wise man by the color of his skin, you're a better man than I. You know, that kind of, well, you know, kind of like says what's going on in the world today, because we're making choices for leadership positions. We're making, you know, in our administrations, across the states, education. We're all making decisions based on a person's color of their skin, their pigment. And and then the song that I played at the beginning of this, at the beginning of this episode, is Charlie Daniels, and that was done in 1989, just 5 years earlier. And he's basically, you know, singing the same thing that Oliver Anthony and Jason Aldean was talking about the government and about how they're interfering with our lives. And, you know, I know Oliver Anthony's been all over the news lately, and, you know, he's reading Bible verses now and things like that. I have nothing against that, but these things, to me, you know, I've been around, it'll be 65 years in October. I've been around almost every decade. There's a couple of artists that that will produce a song, write lyrics or something like that, and produce these things, and then all of a sudden everybody's talking about them, right? Wow. They're such a genius. They're such a, you know, sending out a wonderful message, and then you have every pundit out there talking about trying to interpret, you know, what the guy or what the, you know, whoever's writing the song is saying, and everything else like that, which we had with Oliver Anthony, right? And it's funny because they, you know, they play this song at the Republican, the last Republican debate. And he was sitting there laughing, basically, that they were using his song, you know, for their debate. And he says, you know, I didn't write that song, you know, because I was a Republican, you know, fighting against a Democrat or whatever. It says I wrote it because it goes, you know, it says something about them. I wrote it about them. You know, and that's all politicians, just not Republican or Democrat, but just all politicians, what's going on in the world today. And that's true. I mean, I've been happening. I'm gonna be going back and looking at some other songs from decade to decade. Now, Charlie Daniels was in, like I said, 1989. And I'm going to go back and see if I can find some other ones that kind of reflect. And if you look at, I mean, if you really look at the 50s and the 60s, especially the 60s with Creedence, Clearwater Revival, and Bob Dylan, and Janis Joplin, all of them were talking about the government and government's overreach and things like that. So it's not something that's odd and strange that we have these things happen. You know, I don't believe that they're any more enlightened than anybody else. It's just that they see things, or they're experiencing things in their own lives. I mean, if you listen to Oliver Anthony, he's talking about his drug use and his pot use and things like that, and his drinking and things like that. And so he writes a piece that, and he's written other songs which haven't, you know, resonated with the American people or with anybody. But this song happened to actually resonate with people, and you know what, he got like 9 million people watching it on YouTube or wherever he placed it. And like I said, you get people trying to interpret what he's saying and things like that, which is just, you know, this guy, all he's doing is, and it's like all these artists are doing, they're just kind of like looking at the world, and they're just saying, and the way that they express themselves, like I express myself, I get online, I talk to my friends, and I talk about what's happening in the world today, and I like it, I don't like it, and this is my opinion on it. But their way of expressing their views is by writing lyrics and writing a song and publishing that song and having people listen to it, and some take, some don't. And this last one with Oliver and Anthony and Jason Aldean has, you know, taken a hold. People relating to it. They're speaking for, you know, they're speaking for the people and things like that. I think they are speaking for themselves, and people are relating to what they're having to say, and that's a good thing. People do need to wake up. People need to realize that we are going in the wrong direction. That's my opinion, and that opinion is agreed upon by a lot of people. I mean, there are a lot of people that believe we're going the wrong way. Even the polls that are being done are finding out these same percentages. A huge majority of Americans believe we're moving in the right direction. I mean, I think it's up in the high 70s and 80s now, percentage points, that we are moving in the wrong direction, that we have gone way off kilter here, and we need to make an adjustment. And I know a lot of people, you know, are looking to this coming up election, to make a correction in the direction that we're going. And, you know, I just don't think it's going to be up to an individual. I think we're looking in the wrong direction. We're looking at the wrong things when it comes to making a change of the magnitude that we need to make. It isn't just one person. It isn't Trump. It isn't Biden. It's not RFK Jr. It's not any of the Republicans. It's not any of the Democrats who are looking at running, or whatever the situation is. I know the media wants to push all this stuff on us, you know, and you listen to these politicians, and they, you know, they want to tell you, and I get it. I understand. And, you know, it has to start somewhere, but the change that has to take place, if we really want to see things change, we have to be an America. We have to be a people that is unified behind what is true and what is not false and what's false. And we, unfortunately, over the last few years, because of COVID and other, you know, manipulating kind of circumstances, have allowed ourselves to be influenced by things that I consider just are not true. And we have an attitude of, well, if we continue to say these things over and over and over and over again. They become truth, and then we kind of move on from there, which is not true. I was listening to another RFK Jr. It just comes across my feed. I don't really kind of like look him up. But I came across another feed. I think it was on Reels on Facebook or something like that. And I want to play this because I think it's interesting. And I think he hits the mark again. You know, I don't, like I said, I don't agree with this guy. I wouldn't vote for him because he's a little too radical for me. Liberal, a little too liberal for me. So it's not that I'm going to vote for him, but like when a person really kind of says things that are truthful, I want to listen to them. And, you know, then you have a debate about it. And I think what he says here is very truthful. Let me play this for you.
I won't describe him as an honest man. He's honest about what is happening, about how little guys are getting screwed. They know it. And where I am representing all these people in Eastern Ohio, there's a Trump sign on every lawn. And they're there, and they don't even think I talk to them, and they don't even think Trump is going to help them or do anything. But they know he'll break things, and they want things broken because they know the system is totally rigged to screw them, and nobody cares about them. Nobody's listening to them. But to me, it's heartbreaking to see, you know, what's happening in this country.
See, I listened to that, and I says, yeah, you know, I kind of agree with him. In fact, in 2016, that's basically, you know, what he ran on. He says, I'm not Hillary Clinton. I'm not this crooked Hillary, and I'm going to go in and, what's that, wrecking ball. I'm going to go in like a wrecking ball, and I'm going to tear everything up, and I'm going to destroy everything. And I'm not I'm not a politician by any means. So I'm going to do things differently. And that resonated with people because that's what people wanted at the time. And man, COVID hits, and all, you know, everybody knows what's, you know, our history over the last 3 years. And now we've had this current administration in here for 2 years, and we've seen what kind of just complete detrimental economic policies, foreign policies that this president and his administration has done. And, you know, they're touting how successful the economy is. The unemployment rate is low. Of course it is. But people aren't happy. And you got to try to figure out, like, why they're not happy. Why are they still overwhelmingly saying they're not happy with the economy? They're not happy with the job that Joe Biden's doing. And that the country again is moving in the wrong direction. Those are the same numbers that Obama had on the second administration. They were in the high to mid to high 70s, and during his second administration, and I think that led to a lot of what Trump was able to do in 2016 to harness that anger and that emotion. To do that, I don't know if he has the ability to do that or not again. Although it may be just the facts that the Democratic Party, the opposite side, is wanting to keep Donald Trump from either, number one, either running, or they want him to be the nominated Republican nominee because they feel like they can beat him. But the more that they do this, the more I think what's going to happen are people are seeing that that all of this, and when they're pushing these court dates to early as possible, you know, before the elections, and it's really kind of becoming very obvious if you look at what's, you know, the timelines on these things and what they're going after him with. It's all political moves. Yeah, I believe some of the stuff that he did was illegal. I there's no doubt about it. If you read a lot of these indictments, they are some of them are illegal aspects of these indictments. But We've seen this before. We've seen this on another record, right? We've seen this happen in our past before with other presidential candidates, Democratic candidates, and we continue to see it when it with the favoritism that is shown because of the media and how they cover things and how they manipulate the information that you and I are supposed to be listening to. For the life of me, I try not to listen to any of the major networks, Fox News or any of them anymore. I just don't, because they're so jaded. So I listen to programs and I listen to podcasts that people are actually asking questions that I would ask, and I'm listening to the responses and the answers of these different, you know, like RFK Jr. here and others who are talking, and to see what kind of, you know, responses they are giving and to speaking to truth, because you're not going to get that from the media anymore. You're just not. They are full board on board online with trying to cover for the President of the United States, and they're just a sounding board for the Democratic Party right now. It's just the way it is, and that's why I don't listen to them, because I just don't think they're newsworthy anymore. I've said this on multiple occasions on other episodes. Where are the journalists today? We don't have anybody. We don't have the Walter Cronkites. You know, we don't have those types of reporters, those kinds of people that are actually interested in digging in and looking for the truth and allegations and things like that. And then going with those allegations and trying to get to the truth of things. And it's a really sad situation that we have. You want to talk about disinformation and misinformation and propaganda that has taken place. Just turn on your legacy media and you'll hear it. And it's like I said, it's a shame that we cannot have a truthful debate about things. And you have people like Kennedy here. Who won't get the nomination because the Democratic Party is all over him. They don't want him to run. But if he keeps talking these talking points, these points that are truthful, that's going to start resonating to people, the voters, the Democratic voters. Because even though you're Democrat, and I think that, you know, a lot of people just vote Democrat because they're Democrat, whatever. But I think even those people are starting to see what is actually going on. The polls aren't very good for Biden. They don't trust him. They just think he's too old. They don't trust him. You see what's happening in the Department of Justice, how it's being, the war that's being waged like conservative type of values and conservative political opponents to them, and they'll do anything to stop them. They will. They'll just do anything. How they've tried to tear down. They're trying to tear down the Supreme Court because they disagree. They simply disagree with it. So we need to change the Supreme Court simply because I don't like the ruling. You know, like Biden said, this is not your average or this is not your normal Supreme Court. You know, justice is like how damaging is that to make a statement like that as the President of the United States, who believes in the Constitution, who believes in the Bill of Rights, to sit there and say a statement like that, even though, you know, you have your right to disagree, that's fine. Disagree, that's fine. But the calls for changing, you know, the Supreme Court and they're saying we're packing. We're not saying, you know, the Republicans say we're not packing. We're just filling empty, you know, seats that are vacated. And, of course, there's always some little bit of political game, showmanship going on. Of course, you can't deny that it goes on both sides. But, you know, for a president of the United States and for House of Representatives and for senators to sit there and talk about how and talk about our justice system and especially our Supreme Court, how corrupt it is and things like that. It's just, I don't know. We need a dose of truth in our country, and we need people. And that's what I was going back to before I played this clip, is that there's not going to be the individual that is going to save this country. It's not going to be Donald Trump. It's not going to be Biden. It's not going to be Kennedy. It's not going to be any of these people. It's going to be the average voter like you and I, okay, that have a change of heart, that we are to the point in this country where in our minds and in our hearts, we see the things that are taking place, and we are tired of it, and we will not allow it to take place anymore. That's where we are headed. That's where we should be headed, because that is where changes are actually going to be made, and permanent changes will, you know, be enshrined in as we go forward. Those changes in the hearts of the American people are the things that are actually going to change things. Politicians, man, just believe it or not, they come and go. They have one bad year, they're gone. You know, look at Biden. Biden, I don't think Biden's going to make it to the election, number one. So there's plenty of talk about that. Just go look it up. You got the Republicans, whether they're going to impeach him, not impeach him, you know, doing this new thing called inquiring about impeachment, which is brand new, which has never been done before. All they're doing is testing the waters, and all they're doing is looking at, okay, what are all the pros and cons of impeaching this guy? You know, and I don't think that it'll ever get to that point. Because the alternatives, they have to sit there and it's all this stuff you have to worry about today. The alternatives of impeachment, what happens? You get Kamala Harris, you know, what are we going to be? All of us are going to be singing "The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round" because she likes buses so much. She can't put two coherent thoughts together. And yet she's, you know, if you if you take Biden out of the presidency, what do you got? You know, and now you got what's his name? The socialist guy, Bernie Sanders. He's you know, starting to go to New Hampshire and Iowa and starting to show up, because I think he's starting to smell blood in the water as well. And of course, he's going to push his socialist agenda, his communistic agenda about it. Here's a man that's never worked a freaking day in his life. You know, he's never earned a living, really. He's always lived off the dole of the American people all of his life through. And he's going to tell you and I how to run our lives and what, you know, what is the truth about things. I, you know, maybe we do need we need another Donald Trump just to kind of come in as a wrecking ball and tear things down and try to expose what needs to be exposed. I just don't have, I don't think they have the courage to do it, because I think that it runs very, very deep on both aisles. And when you start exposing this stuff, it's like a can of open worms, right? And I don't think that there's going to be an end to it, really. And so, you know, the only thing that I can see is that people, the we as a people change. And we just don't accept this stuff anymore. I mean, I never in my wildest thoughts, never did I ever think that that the American people would give up their rights and their liberties so easily, especially with COVID. You know, staying at home, being forced not to be able to go to church and worship the way that you want to worship and go to work, kids going to school. I never thought that we would keep our children out of school for over a year, which is dumbfounding to me, especially when all the science, all the quote science, the true science, okay, not the science, but the true science is telling you that the youth and the young are basically, you know, void of any really effects of the COVID virus. And then, you know, we played this mass game, this vaccine game of death and carnage, because if we didn't take the vaccine, we'd all die. And we are all, you know, if we didn't take it, those people who are vaccinated, who are not vaxxed, are the reason why people are dying. And, you know, all this fear mongering and stuff that's going on. It's just like, holy crap, man. Like, I just want honesty. I just want, you know, if it's this guy, if it's Kennedy, if it's Trump or whatever, who can just say it the way it is, and stop all the dumb politics, because I think people are done with politics. And I know the youth are. The youth are just like, they don't have any interest in it at all. You know, these last two generations just don't, they just don't trust anything. They don't see their lives better than their parents. And that's for the first time ever that that we have seen and had polls of the youth not feeling like they are in a better spot, or their future is more bright than what their parents had. And that's a dangerous thing, when you take away an individual's motivation for wanting to do, you know, wanting to go out and work, wanting to perform the best that they can, because they feel like they're not going to get away. They're not going to get ahead anywhere, and they're not going to be able to have the things that their parents have. In fact, they're going to have less, you know, and it's a scary time. And that's the only thing I think that is going to change this, is if we change ourselves and we actually take time to look at these candidates on both sides of the aisle and say, who are you? And I speak truth to me. I don't want to hear political bantering back and forth. I don't want to hear name calling and things like that. I want to hear about what you are going to do. You know, what are you going to do once you're in office? And what are we going to do to change the tide that seems to be coming in with the current, you know, situation that we have with our administration? Because it's not good. And it's something that we as a people need to really look at and really examine these candidates, you know. And I hope that we can do that. I mean, at some point, you know, you gotta understand that your vote does count, and your vote counts because you have taken the work and the effort to understand what is actually being presented to you by these different candidates. You know, are they all in? I get the feeling like, you know, the Christies and there's like three or four that I don't even know why they were on the debate stage the other day. They're just there to, you know, I don't know why they're there. I guess to entertainment wise, I didn't realize that you know, voting for a president was like supposed to be some kind of for entertainment. To me, there was like maybe three or four there that were serious. And that being said, I still look at, are these candidates all in? I like Vivek. I liked him. I've listened to him for about a year and a half now, 2 years now. I've said this before. He reminds me of an early Senator Obama. Very well-spoken, smooth, had a lot of great ideas. And that's the way I kind of like look at this guy. But I just don't get the feeling like he's all in. I don't think he is really running to be the president of the United States. That's my opinion. I just don't think so. So I don't want to cast my vote for somebody who is not all in on what they are you know, what they're trying to accomplish. That's one thing I like about Donald Trump. is I don't like all the shenanigans and all the name calling and all that stuff and the lies and things like that. Lying is like, become, you're a politician, you lie, so, you know, what am I supposed to do with that? But I have to say that anybody that can take the pressure that this man has been put under by his opponents since 2016, since he was elected, you know, and he was, it started when he was elected, impeached twice, and now he's indicted, what, four times, and he's going to court to, you know, basically for his life. And you got all these trumped up charges. Some of them are serious, some of them are not, but you just know that they're all, it's a political hit job. You just know it. And I'm just surprised that he hasn't had a coronary or something like that. Really, it's amazing to me that the guy is, like I said, he's not honest. Like Kennedy says, not honest, but I think he's honest in the way that he portrays America. And I think, to tell you the truth, I think the guy's all in. I mean, he wants to be president of the United States, and he's all in. And, you know, I think the policies that, you know, I wish he would talk more about policies. I wish he would talk about more about what he's going to do and how he's going to be, how he's going to become president. I don't know if we'll ever get that because of all these indictments. It's just not newsworthy. It's not what the media is going to push out there. You know, hopefully you listen to some podcasts on both sides, and you'll start to get the right kind of take on what's going on with him. I don't know if we'll ever get that or not. I hope at some point that we do, and that we start to see a vision of what he is really wanting to accomplish, and how he's going to go about doing this. I'm starting to hear that from a few of the candidates on the Republican side. Nikki Haley has been very articulate in what she wants to do. Vivek's been pretty good. Ron, he's running his state. I think that's a detriment to him, really, to be running his state and trying to run for president at the same time. And I think that's very difficult for him to be able to mesh the two together. But if his policies in Florida have worked over the last 2 years and with COVID and everything, and he can express those policies in a way that people understand them and can get behind him, I think he's all in as well. I think Nikki's all in. I really do. Because I think that they really think that they have a different way to move away from where we are, and to shift the American dream, the American idea, back to where it's supposed to be, back to maybe possibly where the founding fathers believed when they wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's where we need to get, you know, and there's still a lot of time, there's still a lot of debates to take place, and a lot of news to take place. Polls, I don't really pay attention to too many polls nowadays. It's important for the primaries. But as far as for the president of the United States, it's just too early to say whether Trump can beat Biden, or whether Biden's even going to be running for office at that time, who's going to be taking his place. There's still so many variables that are out there because of his age, because of his decaying function ability to be able to function on a normal basis. There's just so many things that are still just so unclear. But what is clear is that, like I said, what is clear is that we, as Americans, we need to really start being involved with this a little bit more. We need to be aware of what our candidates are saying, and ask questions, demand answers, truthful, honest answers from these people. And if they don't, then you don't vote for them. And I think that's where we need to be. We need to have a vision of, we need to have a vision of what this country was and what it should be. And we don't have that now. And that's really evident. If you look at polling, if you look at statistics of across the country, we as a people, we are at each other's throats. We're divided. You know, down that red line, we're just divided. And we need to find common ground. And I think the candidate who finds that common ground and is able to cross those lines and speak to truth, will be our next leaders, because the American people will feel that. So I really believe that's why you have these artists who are singing these songs who are all fed up as well, and you know, who are trying to speak to truth as well. And that stuff resonates right now, and it's going to continue to resonate with the American people. Listen, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. This is the Rob Scott Podcast. You can catch me on Apple and Spotify or any of the, you know, whatever platform you like to listen to. I think I'm on just all of them. Check out my website at robscottpodcast.com. If you got any questions, please email me. I look at my emails every day. I'll respond to you. I'd like to put a few of those up as and answer those questions. So please contact me. Share my podcast with your friends and neighbors. Give me 5 stars and subscribe to my podcast. It'd be great. I'm just like anybody else. I'm trying to build my audience, and I appreciate the help doing that. Other than that, have a great week. Thanks for listening.